Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to another special Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. I've just notched up my 1,000th sermon as a minister. Now there's a miracle. So tonight I thought we could celebrate the art of preaching. I don't mean to give you a lecture, a talk, an axe grinding session or a hobby horse riding. Just celebrate the fact that somehow the words of human beings convey a message from Almighty God. Wow. Preaching has always been the core element in Christian worship and even in Jewish worship before that. It's a big part of every Sunday service. It's a big part of every Christian's life. So what is preaching all about? Why is it so important? Well, more of that later. But to get us in the mood, here's Spring Harvest. We want to see Jesus lifted high.
See Jesus lifted, Jesus lifted, Jesus lifted.
As I was saying, as a minister, I'm celebrating my 1,000th sermon. So I'm a bit nostalgic at the moment. I can think back to the very first sermon. It was December 1975 in Newart Hill Parish Church in Lanarkshire, on the edge of Motherwell. It was a youth service, and I was the one conscripted to do the preaching. I was 20 years old. The thing I remember about that service was, in the middle of my knuckles being white and my knees knocking and my chest heaving inside, there was 1 minute of pure calm. Right in the middle, just that 1 minute, and then I reverted back to normal type. I got the idea from that 1 minute that if I just hang in there and persevere, in due course, the 1 minute will be the whole sermon time. It does get a bit easier with practice. So I did a few pulpit supplies around the Motherwell area. Then I became a student in Aberdeen and did attachments there and churches there. And then I went abroad to America for a year to study at Princeton Seminary. While I was there, I was invited to preach at Dover, New Jersey Church. And as we were going into the church with the beadle carrying the Bible in front of me, he just turned round and said, "Oh, by the way, the service today is on radio." And I gulped, because this was my first time preaching abroad, first time preaching in America, first time preaching now on radio. He said, "Oh, it's okay, it's just local radio." But I thought for a second, local here is New York City. So about 10 million people could be listening into this. So I preached at the Princeton Seminary Chapel in their 10:30 p.m. Sunday evening service. Can you imagine going to church at 10:30 p.m.? That's the sort of thing students would do. And then, armed with 13 sermons under my belt, I became an assistant minister in Kirstorfin in Edinburgh. My first ever service there was a big day for me, because the people hadn't seen the new assistant minister before. And it happened to be a communion service, which is a big occasion. But the other thing was, it was on television, live, ITV, for the whole of the UK. So the church was absolutely packed, and it was broadcast right across the nation. I preached in my first charge, St Mark's, Raploch in Stirling, and then my second charge, Dunbar in East Lothian. Then I went to Fivey, linked with Rothie Norman in Aberdeenshire, and here I am now in Saltcoats at the North Parish Church. I've also preached abroad in Kenya. I remember preaching for the first time through an interpreter. I noticed that whatever I said, he said it twice as long, and I wondered if he was just making it up. I gave him a dig. And then in Kenya, I preached at an open-air service out in the village square. There were 2,000 people gathered, representing 30 different congregations. There were 5 preachers and 30 choirs, who all insisted in singing. The service was from 11 in the morning to 5 in the evening. The theme was a very brave theme: "You'll never thirst again after 9 months' drought." But would you believe it? After I'd preached, and after a preacher after me had preached, it started to spit with rain. And here were the African kids coming out with their wellies on. It was announced at the end of that service, 89 had been saved. I tried preaching the same sermon back in Scotland, but it didn't quite have the same effect. In Jamaica, I remember preaching in a church with a tin roof during a rainstorm. Couldn't hear myself, don't know what they heard. And the minister apologised for us being on time, because usually they ran late and he'd several churches. And the second church I arrived on time. He was sorry for that. In Taiwan, finished the service and had a game of table tennis right after it with a Chinese guy. In Brazil, I went on a preaching tour. I preached every night in full churches. That's quite an experience for a minister. And it was quite moving to see so many people, especially the very poor ones, but on their Sunday best, whichever day of the week I was there. And it was quite a thrill to go from every community singing for my supper. I preached in the Bahamas. I had an interview there with a view to getting a church there. It was worth going just for the interview. And I've preached in Kemney. Now, the reason I mention Kemney in Aberdeenshire is because there were 3 vacancy committees listening to me at the same service. Vacancy committees like normally to just deal with one person at a time. But there they were, 3 together, trying to play one off the other. It was like a Brian Ricks farce. And had 3 interviews, and they were all consecutive congregations, consecutive parishes. Other highlights have included preaching with my pet dog there at an old people's home. Problem with that was he stole the show. They just looked at him all the time, never mind me. I've preached and been heckled during a sermon. There was a story behind that, I'd had to go and break the bad news to a man that his son had died in the Far East, and he didn't take it very well. So this was him coming to the church and heckling me during the sermon. I had a nice compliment once when a visitor said, "I could stand that." And that was nice. I've preached at 11 o'clock in Stirling and caught the aeroplane for Brazil at 2:30 after the service. That's cool, I would think. Anyway, I could go on all day with these nostalgic memories. But the point of preaching is in the words of our next song. This is Fat Fish singing, "Come to Jesus." What is preaching? Well, it is not what people sometimes think it is nowadays. It's not jumping down people's throats. It's not force-feeding ideas. It's not getting at people. It's not going on about some hobby horse. I hate it when preaching gets a bad press. Preaching is God speaking to his people through a preacher. Preaching is actually something that God does, but he uses human agents. Preaching is human words, but it's a divine message. It's God comforting us, challenging us, changing us, but it's something he's doing. God inspires the speaking, but he also inspires the hearing. So you can get a very poor speaker who's well heard. It's a pincer movement from two sides. Preaching is a miracle. It's more of a miracle than folk will ever realise, but preachers know how much it is a miracle. I start the week with a blank sheet of paper and a blank mind, and the prayer, "Help." The congregation will be sitting there, hair combed, teeth in, Sunday best, expecting a word from the Lord. There's no extensions to your SAS and student days. There's no excuses, "I've had a busy week," or "I've no inspiration this week." It's compulsory that you must create something every week, week in, week out, regardless of how you feel, regardless of the circumstances of life. And I've been doing it now for 28 years, 1,000 sermons. It's amazing. I don't have that many things to say. I don't have that many axes to grind. I don't have 1,000 sermons in me. It is a gift from God. I sometimes am amazed myself what turns up on that blank sheet of paper. God gives the inspiration and the message and the motivation, and I get as excited as anybody as I see what's turning up as the sermon. It's a specific word to a specific people on a specific occasion. It's as unique a thing as a snowflake. No two sermons are alike. Even the same sermon twice doesn't come out the same. And throughout history, preaching has changed lives, and changed lives have changed the world. Sometimes one sermon makes a dramatic difference. Like Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream sermon. Look at the effect of that. But usually it's more about drip, 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 week in, week out, cumulatively, it shapes people's lives. We haven't time to go into details here, but I have written a book called The Art of Preaching, and the headings in it tell you a lot. Listen to the headings. Preaching is proclamation of the good news of Jesus. Preaching is inspired utterance, the word of God, truth through personality. It is worship, prophecy, pastoral care, mission. Again, it's summed up in our next song. This is Michael Card. It's about knowing Jesus in the present moment. Know you in the now. Preaching is in the context of, it's part of a threefold way in which God communicates. God communicates through the words spoken by the preacher and the church's preaching and teaching across the centuries, across the different branches of the church. He also communicates in written form through the Bible, the written word, and he communicated supremely in the life of Jesus, his word made flesh. When the Bible and the preaching and the life of Jesus fall into line, that is for Christians their bottom line. When one of those three are out of sync with the others, you've got the other two to check it off against, a system of check and balances. But for example, if the preacher tells you that God is love, and if you read it in the Bible, God is love, and if you see it in Jesus, that God is love, then God is love. Here's Fat Fish again to sing In Jesus. Thank you. So why do we preach? Why do we put such importance on preaching? Well, for one thing, because God commands us to. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And ever since, his disciples have done that. I must preach. You must attend and listen. You must practice what I preach. Think about that. You also must go and preach in the world around you, in word and in action. I think sometimes congregations forget that it's not just the guy in the box who's the preacher. We're all preachers. But we get a word through the man in the box, and then we're inspired to go out and live lives that themselves are living sermons. Preaching is a personal God seeking the love and the fellowship of persons, and seeks best by a person speaking direct to persons. That's W.E. Sangster. What he means is, if God wants to communicate live with live people, it would be natural then to get a live preacher to speak for him. Jesus, when he was on earth, spent a lot of time preaching. At Pentecost, Peter preached and the Holy Spirit touched 3,000 hearts that day. The Reformation rediscovered preaching, and the church has always flourished or declined in direct proportion to the quantity and the quality of its preaching at any time. So here's Don Francisco to inspire you. Stand up and be counted.
Come on, get up on your feet. What's it gonna be, man or a spirit? What's it gonna be, prison or free? What's it gonna be, the heart of the Father, or the slavery of a second Sinai, and the black and white religion, the salesman of captivity? No, stand up for the truth of the gospel. Stand up, don't live in slavery again. Stand up in the freedom of Jesus. Don't give in for a moment to the traditions of men. Nobody's ever gotten right with God by keeping a religion or rules. If a Christian gets twisted into believing like that, you know the Bible even calls him a fool. Because it's only grace and faith in Jesus that got us into the kingdom at all. And if someone says it's different now, you're born again, man, they're heading for a nasty fall. So stand up for the truth of the gospel. Stand up, don't wear those shackles again. Freedom of Jesus. Don't give in for a moment to the traditions of men.
Another reason why we preach is that people need preaching. We need preaching. We need to be pointed towards Jesus. We need to hear the good news. We need a word from God. We need to relate the Bible to our daily life. Preachers need to be experts at both the Bible and at people's lives and connect the two. But so does the hearer. We need to apply it to ourselves. We need help to discern the will of God, to see the things of daily life in the light of eternity. We all need spiritual nourishment. Preaching helps people to digest the Word of God in bite-sized pieces. We need to know home truths and the facts of life. Humans, uniquely of all animals, have the power of speech. God designed us this way. Humans uniquely are designed for, and they need, words of inspiration and comfort and challenge. In sermons, there's even more going on than speaking words and hearing words. God is acting upon us. He's touching minds and hearts and imaginations and wills, changing us, working on us. Preaching makes us more God-conscious. Preaching promotes health and wholeness and harmony. And preaching builds up individuals, couples, families, congregations, society, the church, and the world. Here's Michael Card singing, "Tell the World That Jesus Loves You." That's what it's about.
Tell the world that Jesus loves you. Tell them you found a forever friend. You've opened up your heart's door to him. The love of Jesus has no end.
You can choose what not to believe in. You can deny there's a heaven above. But once you take a look at Jesus, there's no denying that God is love. Come on.
Tell the world that Jesus loves you. Tell them you found a forever friend. You've opened up your heart's door to him. The love of Jesus has no end.
If you want to show you really love him, if you want to that your love is true, then you'll obey the word he's spoken and do all the things he's commanded you to.
Right?
Tell the world that Jesus loves you. Tell them you found a forever friend. You've opened up your heart's door to him. The love of Jesus has no end.
The third reason for why we preach is that preaching works. All down the centuries, all across the world, preaching continues because billions of people have found that it works for them. The hungry sheep look up and are fed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for the preaching of God's word, for they do get fully satisfied. Preaching has changed lives, and they go in turn and change the world. Preaching has inspired great reform movements, great revivals. Preaching comforts wounded warriors, gives courage to the faint-hearted, helps those who are tempted, turns lives around from hell to heaven. Preaching has eternal significance. It awakens repentance and prompts conversion. Through preaching, God saves perishing souls and builds up saints and the kingdom of God. We preach because God is passionate about human souls. I preach because God is passionate about your soul, and mine included. So we give thanks to God for all the sermons that we've ever heard. I'm in particular thanking God for the 1,000th sermon I've just preached. That was it, you've just heard it. So until we meet again, I'd like to leave you with Robin Mark singing Revival, which is my great hope for the Three Towns area.
Send revival, bring them home.